During this hour, we've been talking about efforts to stave off environmental catastrophe, either through climate change legislation or political activism. But missing from the debate is any mention of what effect global warming would have on the process of natural selection if those efforts fail. Joining me now is science writer Carl Zimmer, the author of a number of books, including the forthcoming The Tangled Bank, An Introduction to Evolution. I'm very pleased that he joins us again on the show. Hello.
Hi, thanks for having me again.
The planet is getting warmer. Are we already beginning to see certain species adapt to the new climate?
We are. It's a little difficult at first to tell what kinds of changes you're seeing that are just animals and plants just doing different things, and how much of it is actually real evolution that involves changes in their DNA. But there definitely is some change in their DNA, which you could really call natural selection.
Well, first we would see certain things die out because they no longer are in a welcoming environment, and then we'd probably see also changes in migration patterns. But you say that DNA changes occur this quickly? Or is this something that's probably been in the works for a while and we haven't noticed?
Well, this is something that evolutionary biologists have been recognizing in recent years, is that evolution doesn't happen really slowly like Darwin thought. Darwin never thought that he could actually document natural selection happening in his own lifetime. But actually, it can. Actually, life can adapt very quickly, and it can adapt quickly to natural changes, like a drought that might have nothing to do with global warming. But as the climate has changed due to human activities, life is adapting to it, and we can actually start to measure that change now.
So this is the sort of thing that Stephen Jay Gould and some of his collaborators were talking about when they came up with the idea of punctuated equilibrium. Suddenly, everything starts adjusting.
Well, you know, he was very interested in rapid kinds of evolution, but when he was talking about punctuated equilibrium, it was more about origins of new species over the course of thousands of years. We're just talking about changes that are happening over the course of years and decades, so it's actually a lot faster than that.
So what is global warming doing to mustard plants, for example?
Well, some scientists did a study on these in California, and they found that after a drought, which is the sort of thing that you're going to be expecting more of in California, it was changing the time at which the plants were flowering. So actually, they were becoming genetically hardwired, as it were, to flower much earlier in the growing season. And if that may have been given them more success because the flowers came out earlier, they were more likely to produce seeds than the flowers that used to come out later. And so, you know, some of the plants that you see coming into bloom may actually be blooming earlier in part because they're evolving in response to climate change.
If I had to guess, I'd say that on the whole, global warming will be good for cacti and bad for polar bears and penguins.
Well, yeah, there's only so much, you know, that evolution can do for the sake of a species. So, for example, as you said, polar bears, I mean, they would have to adapt to life without their usual habitat, and they'd have to do it quickly. And the problem is that you know, polar bears, they're like us. They are mammals that live a long time, and they reproduce slowly. And climate change is happening so fast that it's not likely that they would be able to adapt very much to this change. So polar bears are probably in big trouble, and Darwin won't be able to help them.
My guest is Carl Zimmer, who's the author of numerous books, including the soon to be released, The Tangled Bank, An Introduction to Evolution. I hear seagulls in the background. Is global warming having any impact on bird species?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I'm here on Appledore Island off the coast of New Hampshire, and it's a seagull colony. And they and other birds are showing some signs of adapting to global warming as well. So, for example, some migration patterns and some timing of hatching of eggs and breeding, that's all starting to change as well. And in some cases, it looks like this is an evolutionary change, that the birds that are changing their patterns are having more success than the ones that aren't. And so, you know, then the important thing here is that this kind of change is going to actually speed up in the decades to come because global warming is projected to become much more severe.
And many conservation scientists have argued that we're living in a mass extinction period. Do you have any sense of how many species are estimated to lose through climate change?
Well, there have been rough estimates of sort of in the ballpark of 25% of all species. We're talking a quarter of all species could be perhaps committed to extinction if global warming happens as it's been projected. It's a very rough estimate, and part of the problem with these estimates is that they haven't been able to figure out how evolution changes the equation. It is possible that some species will be saved by evolution, but it's also likely that a lot won't be. And in fact, evolution might actually make things worse for some species.
We've seen the decline of frog populations around the world, although I'm not sure whether that is a result of climate change or something else.
Frogs, there's a lot of research on that. A lot of people are arguing that it may be the result of diseases that are being allowed to flourish in a changing climate. As the climate changes and conditions change, it may favor, for example, a kind of fungus that can kill frogs. Actually, here on Appledore Island, I was just talking to a scientist who's saying that there are diseases of fish here, these parasites that live on fish and cause something called black spot disease, and they're expected to get worse with global warming as well. So animals are going to be hit in a lot of ways by global warming, by diseases, by changes in the range, and also by natural selection. So a lot is going to happen, and it's hard. It's going to be very challenging to keep track of where it's all being pushed.
Well, when a species dies, doesn't something else move in to fill that vacuum?
Not necessarily. You know, if it has a very unusual niche and there's nothing really out there to take its place, that niche will be empty. And, you know, there's a lot of arguments that have been made that having a lot of diversity, a lot of different species, some of which might be doing the same thing, actually makes ecosystems robust. In other words, they can withstand lots of changes. And ecosystems that have lost a lot of their species, they become very fragile. In other words, the whole ecosystem can collapse, in which case a lot more species can become extinct.
Carl, thank you so much for talking with us. Science writer Carl Zimmer, his most recent book coming out soon, The Tangle Bank, An Introduction to Evolution. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.